And here we go. What is going on, people of the court?
Yes.
People out there, people in the place.
Episode 34.
Yeah, it's the graduation episode, everybody.
Highly anticipated episode.
We are graduating from Temple. So this is You Wouldn't Get It, episode 34. We're coming at you with our usual brand of content, some updates. But yeah, a little phone number reminder real quick, 215-278-8898. 215-278-8898. We're getting some more traffic on there.
Yep. Check out our TikTok. We posted a new skit today, guys. If we don't go viral from this, you might never hear from me again.
The algorithm is broken if this does not go viral.
Yeah.
Let's just say that, pretty much. But I say we hop into things, Chris. I say we hop right in. And our first controversial topic, in alignment with what's currently going on with our lives, is controversial topic and opinion, is college worth it?
Yeah. And I think this is a good question. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people ask themselves this or debate it, right?
Yeah, we're jumping right into it, I'm realizing. Like,
Just right away. That's what we do on this pod. Yeah, that's obviously a multifaceted question, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think I'll answer like a lawyer does. It depends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends among
I think
about a lot of things.
I think, obviously when we say, is it worth it, we mean the money.
Yeah, like you're paying this amount of dollars, or even if you're going for free, but you're spending this amount of years to ideally make some money, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not sure you necessarily need the degree the same way you did in the past to get a job.
Yeah, well, some people argue that you actually do need it now because everyone has one almost.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's like, it's like a double-edged sword kind of thing.
For more, here's what I'd say. For more creative endeavors, I think you go all in on a creative school.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking right now of going, like, right, because Temple, coming to Temple for, like, an acting school, and I know that it's whatever you can get into, you take the best option, but, like, I know people that went to a conservatory for 2 years to study acting, and it seems to be a much better investment than going to college for 4 years, taking gen eds.
Yeah, that makes complete sense to me, yeah.
Because it's weird, because everyone's on their own timeline in life, but college sort of tries to force you through an average one, which makes sense because you want to appeal to as many people as possible.
Yeah, and I think you need to start normalizing like labor unions now. Like, they're starting to pay really good. So, I mean, like, if like a career you're picking might not be as good as doing something like that now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? I think online school is definitely worth it. Now,
yo, I like online school. Like, maybe like nighttime. Maybe where you work during the day, do a couple classes online, maybe.
I'm interested to see how the college experience, quote unquote,
changes since COVID, right?
Yes, changes and develops with
it
time.
It already kind of did. Like, I feel like a lot of people, like myself included, prefer being online.
Yeah.
And just having that flexibility to maybe take a night class and have the day to do my other endeavors, as opposed to like using your whole morning and like midday.
Yes.
For school, right?
Exactly, right. Because when I'm taking a in-person class, I'm showering 45 minutes before.
You got to walk.
Eating 30, yeah. And then walking 15. And
it's like the remote work argument, right?
Yeah.
Saving all, like, the overhead time, like, that you're wasting with the getting there, you know, doing all that stuff.
Yeah, whereas if I'm just doing a virtual class, sometimes I'm showering in the, you know, I'm joining the class 2 minutes early and thinking that gives me a reason
we're
to shower.
Big multitaskers, yeah.
Making food during it. Now, let's be real, Chris. That's just us, because I think we were taking, at least I was taking classes that I wasn't, they just weren't my interest.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. Especially ones that had nothing to do with what I want to do after.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like, to get back to the question, is college worth it? Like we said, like, it depends. I don't think majors matter as much as people make it out to be. Like, I think you can really do almost anything besides obviously being like a doctor or like an engineer. Like, you can kind of like major in anything. You can major in English technically, and I know people who are in the business world. So yeah. I don't think that matters as much. I think it just matters what your plans are, right?
Yes.
Just remember what field you're looking into, and before you like start like thinking about it, maybe look at the demand for it, the pay, instead of just, you know, and also your passion for it. It's a mixture of all those things. You know what I mean?
Now that I've had some time to reflect on it, I think college, the idea of college, how it's propagated in the media and in our culture, is very predatory, because essentially what you're saying is, hey, 18-year-old, here's a
massive loan.
Here's a small business loan that you wouldn't get
Yeah.
If you weren't a student, like if you went,
yeah,
to
you can't
said,
buy a house at 18.
If you went to the loan office and said, "Hey, I want to for 4 years drink a ton, not really do yeah. much, meet new people,"
they would say, "Get the hell out."
Maybe study a few things and learn something.
Yeah.
They'd be like, "Okay, no."
Yeah, it's crazy. I think when our parents, like when my dad went to college, for instance, like it was a lot better. Like college wasn't as expensive.
Yeah.
There was more demand for jobs because not everyone had a degree. But now college is insanely expensive. Like it's growing at a rate way faster than the salaries are growing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now everyone has a degree. So how are you going to differentiate yourself, right? Like, okay, you have a business degree. Okay, that's cool. So does millions of other people. Like, I think it's about differentiating yourself.
Additionally, almost all the information is on YouTube and other platforms.
Yeah,
the amount of times,
point.
Even the finance stuff that I don't really care much about, like the CAPM model and looking into, I guess, accrual-based accounting. If I want to go and do a homework assignment or do a really tough project on that stuff, I'm not really relying on what I learned in class. I'm more so on my own time going and researching through YouTube what's there, and
it's
that's
funny,
all free.
Because like, if you told me in high school that like I would be a business major, and like by the end of my career I didn't learn much of anything about personal finance, I'd tell you you're nuts.
Yeah.
But like again, in high school you barely learn it, and then in college again, I'm literally a business major and had to do my own research on my own personal finances, how to handle money when you get it. They really, I don't know, you are a finance major, I'm legal studies, but I still took all the core business classes, and we literally, the closest thing to anything we talked about was maybe a bear and bull market.
I mean, in my classes, I've learned how to do an entire projection, a case projection for a company on how they're going to run their business, but
right,
I haven't really done it on mine. And
which is pretty important. Like, now you're going to graduate and enter the work world. I think luckily me and you are pretty,
yeah,
we did our own research and we're well, like pretty responsible with that. But a lot of people aren't. Like, they're going to make this money and probably spend it on a brand new car and clothes. You know what I mean? Because they went from zero to whatever.
When I was, here's what I will say about the other side, college potentially being worth it. When I was a freshman and sophomore, I was huge into this business organization and spent a lot of time there and really enjoyed it. And I said for a while, the connections that I made through that were worth it, because I wouldn't have them if I didn't go to Temple. Now, if you want to bring up the argument of is this just because sort of connections have been grandfathered in from times before us with the Temple name, you're right, because I can now go probably on LinkedIn and search up if I want to work at Boeing.
Yeah, literally everywhere I look at it always says like so-and-so works here from Temple.
And you just reach out and you have that connection going to Temple. So that is very valuable in itself depending on the field that you want to go into.
For
now,
sure.
I think, if you look at my trajectory and take the emotional stuff out of it and just look at it objectively, it's like I went to college, took a bunch of loans so that I could get a job to pay off those loans, but I'm still pursuing creative stuff on the side. But it's also, college can also be a really good self-discovery period. There is something to be said about giving yourself an extra 4 years of fluff, we'll call it.
Yeah,
and allowing, you to take on more independence, understand yourself better, and hopefully lead to a lot of positive development.
Because I would make the argument that even if I did make money when I was 18 and 19, I probably would have been a dumbass with it.
Yep, yep.
So, I mean, I guess it did, take a little bit of time to mature. That's just on me, though. That's all subjective.
Yeah,
we always answer these questions like this. Like, it depends, but it really does, right?
Everything controversial in the world depends on something, I would say. Now, I could probably be canceled for that because there's probably some stuff that isn't.
Yeah.
But
like we said, if there's really something you're passionate about, you want to be a doctor, hell yeah, go for it. You want to be a vet, go for it. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't say you have to go to it. Like, don't let people tell you that. You don't. You can have a successful career doing a ton of things without it and save yourself a lot of money. And
And if you have, last thing, if you have friends going to a bigger university, I guess we'll say, and there's a community college nearby, just be the person that slides on the weekends and hangs out.
Great call.
Because there's a lot of my friends who did that have a lot less debt than I do now.
Yep, I agree. And they're getting the same degree and graduating
tomorrow
with us.
Yep,
so
2 years at a community college and 2 years at a main university.
And you can almost even work while you're there, too. So
yes.
That's, in my opinion, the best way to do it. All they're going to see in the end is your annual degree. Like,
exactly.
Literally.
Exactly. But
so, yeah.
It depends, definitely.
Let's get into our headlines that caught our eyes, guys. We have a really interesting one that I'm sure if you are paying attention to the news right now, you've probably heard of. We're gonna talk about the possible overturning of Roe v. Wade, guys. It got leaked by a clerk recently. It's unprecedented. It never has happened before.
Yeah, I think we sort of get desensitized to the fact that we're experiencing wildly historic events.
Yes, like COVID and this, or they'll be in the history books.
I mean, think about a leak of one of the biggest Supreme Court cases of all time being overturned. For that to leak out.
Yeah, it's never happened before.
Is really
I want to know who did it. I really do. I'm excited to find out. I've seen two, like people said, like, it obviously could be someone on the liberal side who's an activist and wanted to leak it. It also could be a conservative who leaked it and wanted to let it out now so it would die down by the time it does get overturned. Those are the two possible scenarios, right?
So that's, okay.
We'll see.
So
those are just some people's, like, hypotheses.
And it being overturned, this means that abortion would be illegal
so
everywhere?
So, like, currently, I think abortion is, like, federally legal everywhere.
Okay.
Like, before, it used to be the states governed it, and now the federal government stepped in and they made, you know, Roe v. Wade case, right?
Yes.
And now it would overturn it, and I think it would go back to being up to the states and wouldn't be federal law anymore.
Yeah.
Which is, like, pretty huge.
Yeah, that is crazy.
You know, because, like, obviously a lot of right-leaning states would ban abortion, right?
Okay, so it would be up to the state.
Yeah.
Huh.
I yeah, it's interesting. I don't think me and you really have a strong opinion on it because I think we both stand where it's like up to the woman a lot more.
Not that
a man shouldn't have a say, because obviously it's a partnership, right?
You know, yeah.
You're gonna have to both fund the kid.
Yes.
But I definitely love to hear women's opinion on it, because they know a lot more about it than me. So this is something I never have a strong opinion on.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that we no longer do our, like, forced jokes, because I just wouldn't, we wouldn't have,
yeah,
we wouldn't
I wouldn't
able
make
to talk
a joke
about this.
It's quite the serious topic.
But I did, so yeah, I agree with what Chris said. There's not, me not having a strong opinion is only due to the fact that I don't think it's my, it's my voice that needs to be heard at
exactly,
this time.
Yeah.
But if someone was to ask my opinion, I would say a lot of what I'm seeing on social media has been very informational. And I saw something, a really good post the other day that said, there is no banning safe, wait, hold on. There is no banning illegal abortion. There's only banning safe abortion. You know what I mean? Because people are going to, just like, I mean, this is a really bad comparison, but smoking marijuana, just because of the legalization status, people are still going to do it, and there's going to be more.
Oh, you mean like more underground, like more fishy stuff,
unsafe ways. So you're really all you're doing by banning it is making the process harder for people that are trying to do it a safe way.
The only take I have on it that's like I might be even just slightly controversial. It's not really,
okay.
But it's like I just feel like once you're at like the 8 and 9 month mark, and you're like, I want to abort it. I'm just like, oh man, like I don't know. I just think it's a little irresponsible to sit on that long and, you know, wait that long to make a decision like that. Just in my honest, humble opinion. So I'm not saying I'm against it by any means. I just think that extreme part is where I would draw the line.
I just see it as...
I'm not voting on it, so...
No, this is a very large topic. And Chris, I know that comes from a place of very much wanting to be understanding of everything that a woman is going
100%,
through.
100%, yeah. Especially single moms. Shout out to the single moms.
Yes.
Let's
shout them out. And but I do feel like even at that point, I don't think, like, no one's intention is I want to kill a baby. As gruesome as it sounds out loud.
Yeah, no. They're not, like, committing manslaughter.
No one's.
It's a terrible situation for anyone who has to make the decision.
Because those are the actual criminals, because unfortunately that does happen in real life. Like, people want...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's... That, no.
But what I want to say is that even those people further down the line, it's still as hard of a decision as
right
afterwards.
I'm just I know what you mean.
I
don't even have that strong of an opinion on that. I was just saying, even if I had to like think about what I could maybe see being a problem, it's that like when it gets really late in the process.
And I'm not making this about us, but I think it is cool to see both of our growth in like an area like this. Not that we would be on the other side in high school or something. We just wouldn't even, I don't think, think about like.
Yeah,
other
like we're getting older now. Obviously, you want kids eventually, so it is something to think about, right?
Yeah,
and you never know. Sometimes you could have an accident, so it was just very, very interesting. But None of us have been affected, either of us have been affected by it enough to really have too strong of an opinion, nor do I think mine should be that relevant. I like to take opinions on things I'm really passionate about. So this one I'm going to leave to up to other people to, you know, maybe explain it to me.
Yes.
And, you know.
I'm excited to, because my sister usually, like, not schools me, but educates me on this kind of stuff. So I'm excited for her to talk to me about it.
Yeah, I don't know much more besides that.
Yeah, so we'll end it there. But if you're out there and standing up against this as a woman, we definitely support you. And that's not just something I think we're trying to say to appeal to anyone. It's something I feel strongly about. So
yeah, me too.
That's that.
Hell yeah. Shout out to women.
Amen. Yeah.
No,
I said amen. No, amen, because that's men in it. Oh, shout out to women.
Oh, dude, you're setting me up over
Yes.
No. Sorry, dude, you're throwing me way
no,
off.
No, I wasn't trying to do like this thing.
So we have like a second headline that caught our eye. It's really not a headline, but guys, we talked about it. We're graduating.
Boys are graduating. Yes, I'm right here, Chris. Come on, don't leave me hanging. We were gonna wear cap and gown, but we decided.
I kinda left
mine
at home, my grandma's ironing it, guys.
It's all right.
I wanna look sloppy on stage.
It's all right. We probably still will.
It's been awesome though, right? I learned so much in 4 years.
A ton. I've changed like an insane amount and it's really incredible.
To see the growth you can make in just simply 4 years.
Yes.
You have a long life, hopefully.
Yes. And I think where we're it's awesome. I mean, starting this podcast during college, being in through COVID and also going through like the first year and a half, I think, buffer that everyone goes through where you're like,
yeah, I don't think people talk about that enough. Like, whether you're working or in school, COVID was definitely a tough time for everybody. I mean, you were like pretty much like locked away in your house, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know that I tried to frame it as a positive, but there were still times when it was really tough because you couldn't see people. And
like, I'm so comfortable with just chilling that it didn't really affect me that much. But like, I know a lot of people, like my dad loves to like, he actually like likes going to work sometimes and like getting out of the house and just talking to people that he like works with. He sees a lot like doctors and nurses.
Yeah.
So people like him, like definitely like, you know, weren't happy with the situation like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, we're blessed that I think we're, I mean, it goes both ways. I was going to say we're blessed that we're a generation that I guess has so much to do like on
That's
our own.
A great point. Yeah, you really can do a lot of home, like video games, chill.
Yes.
You can hang out with your close friends.
Watch
maybe.
A YouTube video, watch a movie. I mean, back in the day you could watch a movie, but think to our parents where
we
if they couldn't go outside.
Netflix,
it would be insane.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So, like, yeah, we definitely were a lot more acclimated. But, like, shout out to you if you made it through it.
Yep.
I hope your mental health was good because that's something that I'm sure a lot of people dealt with.
And shout out to all our graduates who are listening. We hit us up. We'll snag a picture if you're graduating to Temple.
Yeah, hell yeah. We do got to get some pictures.
Yeah. I got our old professor, Chris, Melissa Glenn. I set one up.
Really?
Us. Yep. We're gonna get a picture with her.
Yeah, she's a nice lady.
But, yeah, so we're going to talk a lot about graduation and post-graduation and stuff.
Yeah, we don't need to harp on it too long. We're going to talk about it again. So,
but exciting stuff and a headline that definitely caught our eyes as, you know, it's the end of an era. It really is.
Sorry, I just got a funny, someone DM me something.
Cool.
Yeah, you want to get into our reactions though?
Yeah, let's do it. I'll take the first one, I believe.
You sent me mine, right? Okay, bet.
Yes. I think I...
Yeah, I got mine. So if you want me to go.
No, I got mine right here. Thank you, though.
Yeah, guys, so we're going to do our reactions, our Reddit reactions, some of our favorite things to do.
And this, yes, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
And this one is, what's the craziest thing you've experienced at a college party?
These are good, because we've seen some crazy things. I might have even partaken in some crazy thing, guys.
We have some crazy stuff coming up, I would say. So, the first one that we have is for, what is the craziest thing you've ever seen at a college party? I saw a 140-pound French-Canadian guy tear a sink out of the wall, run outside, and smash it to pieces against the tree. By the time we'd woken up the next morning, he'd already gone to Home Depot, bought a new sink, and installed it in the bathroom.
Dude, that's great. And a French-Canadian guy, man, very specific. They really wanted to get his nationality/ethnicity clarified for us, right?
Someone said French at night, Canadian by day.
I love it.
Makes sense. I mean,
I would argue it's the other way around. I feel like French people are a little naughty. But when we were in Canada, we saw someone have a knife pulled on him,
No, French at night, as he tore it out, Canadian
by
day.
Oh, good. I see.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, perfect. My bad. I heard that.
No, you're
wrong.
Good. I also like the weight. They added the weight because, I mean, dude, 140
So I guess
pounds,
it was his, right?
I don't think that's obvious, but 140.
He replaced it. Sorry, I don't mean to keep cutting you off.
No, it's okay. 140-pound kid ripping a sink off a wall.
The funny thing is, I know someone who's done that. So.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, like that. I mean, you go to those frat houses, guys, and they're like, they're treating you like shit on the way in. They're like, "What's up, little buddy? Yeah. Did you bring any girls? Because you better have 5-1." And I'm like, "Dude, like, come on, man. Like, this is freshman year, by the way, because I hate frats."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Dude, just come on. I'm just trying to have a beer and have a good time." They're like, "Yeah, all right."
Yeah.
And they, like, shove me in the wall. They're
like, throw me on a list.
Like 30, and you're in. Yeah. Have fun with no sink. Joke's on you.
Have fun with your plumbing situation.
Yeah.
Dude. No, to go and actually install the new sink is definitely a move that you can tell.
That's respectable.
It's just a nice guy that had a little too much fun.
That's what we do. Well, maybe not you, but a lot of us break stuff in this house and we just replace it.
I mean, smashing a sink.
Yeah, I've never done that.
To pieces on a tree, that has to be at least 15 hits.
Yeah, imagine watching that too. That's pretty funny.
And you know he's just so passionate about it. He's like.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't be taken out of the moment.
Man, apparently we got to watch out for those French Canadians, man. You got to watch how many beers they're drinking.
Yeah, well, Chris, you were about to bring up a story. We had a French, we saw a French guy pull a knife on someone just because he ran into him walking through a crosswalk.
Yeah, that's insane. And I was in the car and I was shook.
I was shook. I couldn't imagine me the dude get a knife pulled
yeah,
on.
Yeah, dude, and he was handling it well. It was scary. I never seen that happen before.
And then the best is we pull up to a security guard down the road and we're like, yo, back there at the crosswalk, some dude's got a knife at someone else's, like, you know, neck.
Swinging it, yeah. And he was like, oh, yeah, that happens.
He was like,
it's a Canadian thing.
He was like, all right, I'll check it out. He, like, waddles over him.
Yeah, dude, yeah. You don't give a shit.
That Canada trip was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. There's a lot of stuff that went on there.
Being at the casino till, like, 6 a.m. every night.
No, renting an Airbnb and it being so scary that we didn't stay in it and we were homeless and we literally, like, at 4 a.m. bought a hotel room.
For way too much money.
But it turned out pretty well. Yeah, we spent so much money, guys, we could have just went to Cabo.
Honestly, but the experience was worth it, maybe.
Yeah, it was funny. So. Yeah, no, we went to the casino. You were a madman in the casino.
Yeah, I was going nuts. And, yeah. That was,
Steve would disappear and come back with like $400 more, and we'd be like, dude, what are you doing? And I would see him from afar just like pacing around, and I'm like, this dude is a madman.
I remember so what happened was I had $50, and I put it on one of the colors for roulette.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with roulette, you put it on red or black, and you have pretty much a 48% chance to win every time.
Yeah.
And if you win, then you double your money. So I did it like 4 times in a row and doubled it and got up to like 400, like 800, I think. And this is Canadian dollars. And
come on.
You see that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. My boss, yeah. Yeah, so I had the Canadian dollars and I remember going up to one of the roulette tables and putting my chips down, and then one of the bosses walks over, and I pick it up. I'm like, "Yeah, they're after me."
Yeah, like, you really did think they were after
you. The dude was probably like, "Hey, this just by the way, this kid is like nuts."
Yeah, I mean, I believe it. The hair flopping.
Yeah, hair flopping all over the place. I got a trench coat on. I'm taking way too long with the story. So, Chris, you can go into the second reaction if you want.
Yeah. So, guys, my second reaction: the pet raccoon. This should be good.
This is a great one.
We had a pet raccoon for 2 days. Long party. Who would hang out with us? We thought he was a nice, furry guy, but then he betrayed us.
No.
We were pretty drunk. He left, came back with friends, looted our house. I don't mean to be anti-raccoon, but it is hard for me to trust him now. If you read this, Fritz, reconsider coming back and we'll start over.
Fritz. So there's a lot to unpack.
There's a lot to unpack in that story. Raccoons are pretty nuts. Like, I feel like they have rabies a lot.
Okay, so I have a story about a raccoon. But before that, a 2-day party in parentheses.
Yeah, so they hung out with, they left the raccoon in the house for 2 days. That's bold.
That's crazy.
Like, I feel like you wake up and, like, the raccoon will be, like, over you.
With a knife, like that one dude we talked about that one time.
Talk about movies fantasizing, like, over, like, animals, like, making them into, like, cute animals.
Yeah, dude, like over the hedge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another one, too, over the hedge and something else, but.
Hoodwinked.
Yeah, Hoodwinked. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Banjo, the Billy Goat.
And the Billy Boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Dude, so I was walking to class. This is something that I'm actually starting a stand-up competition with in the near future. So let me know if it's actually funny. I'm walking to class and walking down the street. And I hear rustling from a trash can. And I'm like, what the hell is that? I turn to my right and I'm staring dead in the eyes at a raccoon with a slice of pizza in its hands. Right? I'm staring. I've never made eye contact like this with an animal.
That's insane.
Never. And it looked
you
right
just
at me.
Hold it?
It looked right at me, and I swear to God, it gave me a Philly head nod.
It went like, And then it just started devouring it. That's
and then
great.
And didn't move a muscle. And I just gave it a head nod back. And I was like, what the hell was that?
Oh, man, that's funny.
Like,
that doesn't get more Philly than that. I mean, I was out front today, and I'm walking up, and I hear, like, rummaging really loud. Like, not even a rat. Like, it sounded like a fox. And, like, I'm walking in, and I was like, I typed the number in wrong. I was like, I'm done for.
Yeah.
But I really do think it was a massive rat. The rats around here, guys, if you think you've seen rats, no, you've seen mice and men.
You seen, dude, Raccoonatooie.
Dude, I'm talking these rats look like raccoon size.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
It's insane.
I've seen bugs down here that I don't even think they have them in Australia.
It's like they get them in a lab somehow and just grow them.
No, really though, dude, down here, everything here is supersized. Like, you ever seen the McDonald's supersized?
Yeah, I have.
That's what, like, the animals down here are like.
Did they make you watch that in PE class? Yeah, you were in the same.
Yeah, we all did. I feel like everyone in America had to watch that.
It's like, it's this dude eating it every day. But yeah. I guess I understood it a little bit.
Yeah, but sometimes it was almost like they're beating it to death.
I know. Like, he ate it every day and did all that for
and
his health.
And he turned fat. Like, nice one, genius.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have figured
Albert
that one
Einstein
out.
Albert Einstein right here. Like,
you just,
what?
You literally just, like, ruined your body for nothing.
Yeah, yeah. He was, like, a fit guy. I saw my fit guy before.
Yeah.
There's a one guy. Yeah. That's funny. But, yeah, to have a pet raccoon, we've talked about, Chris, like, having a dog in here before, and the talks,
not habitable.
The talks get stifled right away because if you walked into our living room today, I would ask you to leave out of pure respect to your character.
Agreed.
There was a single lamp on. The grass, I mean, I'm not sure the hardwood.
There's mold growing on the ceiling.
I'm not sure hardwood can get dirtier than it currently is.
We haven't mopped it in like 2 years.
There's a bike on the ground on top of a footrest balancing.
Shit everywhere.
You know, dry.
Smashed in TV.
Dry wipes, yeah, smashed in TV.
Walls are effed up.
The doors of our pantry are off.
Yeah, it's just not habitable.
Nothing
here
in the fridge except for an old cucumber from sophomore year. We got frozen chicken in the top that basically is almost completing the life cycle and coming back to life.
Yep.
It's a lot going on.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That was a good rant.
Yeah, no, it was good, though. No, I mean, I think people were interested to hear how you shouldn't live.
Yes. And now we're just going to turn it over to our sponsor, who's actually pretty respectable today. It's been a while since we had a respectable sponsor.
Yeah, no, it has been. Actually, last week we did with your short film, but
yeah, but usually they're breaking in, trying to come through the air vents or something, come underneath the door. But today, you know,
this guy's dressed up nice.
Guys, come over here. Yeah. Let's get him going.
We'll be back.
After tireless months of trudging through the social media mud, getting our downfalls preyed upon by the TikTok algorithm designers, and overall being complete and utter embarrassments to our family name,
we have finally created a TikTok with more than 7 likes.
Using a combination of sheer insanity,
resources from our college house, which were going down the drain anyways,
and a work ethic only comparable to Blackbeard himself,
we have at last done it.
Check out our Wii Bowling skit on TikTok now.
Going viral as we speak.
This could be the start of something great.
Or a downfall that matches that of the fall of Rome under Julius Caesar himself.
Either way, check us out at You Wouldn't Get It Pod on TikTok. Alrighty.
Yeah, so check out that TikTok.
Bit of context. It's quite wild, but I still think it's suitable for all audiences as long as they don't think that they can go and do it. And, yeah, we're pretty excited, but we're just going to kind of let it take its course and do this second half of the pod.
Yeah.
So
we have listener questions, right?
Yes.
We got two texted in.
This week, which we figure we take a stab at both of them.
Yeah.
And this first one is asking us what makes us feel inspired. Very personal question, but not really, more of like a philosophical question, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely a little. And we like to get philosophical here, so we'll do it.
Oh, yeah. So what makes you feel inspired, Chris?
Yeah, like I said, like seeing or listening to people who are successful that came from nothing, like whether like sometimes on YouTube or a podcast, like I'll just hear people's stories and I don't know. It just makes me feel like, okay, well, like they did it and they came from nothing, a small town of anywhere. Then it's definitely possible for me to do it, you know?
Yep.
And that applies to everything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is nice to see someone who, because a lot of what we do, I guess what we're trying to do, sort of feels like you need someone to look at and say, okay, it went somewhat well for them.
Right.
We follow this model because the thing with hard work in like a creative way is it's really tough to gauge when exactly the work that you're doing is worthwhile, or even if it's hitting the chord that you're looking to hit.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right.
Right, like we'll do this podcast and we have no idea really what people like besides when they say, hey, I like when you do this. But we know that we enjoy it. We enjoy doing it. And I think has to be enough, or else you can get into a slippery slope of only doing what other people want you to do.
Watch your arm. There you go.
Yeah, only a slippery slope of only doing what other people want you to do and not not really what's true to you.
Right.
But I would say what makes me feel inspired is definitely other people's passion and happiness.
I was thinking that too. That's what I was going to write.
You know, I really like seeing other people passionate about things because it inspires me in what I'm passionate about. If you get caught up in, I guess, the whims of the world, the bad stuff that happens, you can get into a mindset where you sit and think, man, is there really anything to be passionate about? Is this worth it? Like, you can get into some depressing thoughts, but when you see other people passionate, I think it strikes a spark in you.
No, it does. Like, you see someone that really enjoys what they're doing,
yes,
and they're really good at it. I'm like, damn, that's awesome. Like, I want to find what I'm good at, and yes, I'm going to be really good at it and enjoy it.
And you're like, man, that's what life's about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one.
I don't think it's too much more complicated than that.
No, I think we should just answer them and not go in with the listeners' questions.
I agree.
Not go into too much.
I like that, yeah.
Especially with two this week. So what's our second one?
Yeah, our second one, guys, it's what are you guys doing after graduation? Yeah. You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm going to be working part-time this summer just at my normal job I have. And I'm going to Italy, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm hyped to see that for 3 weeks with my grandma and some of my family, so that's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting law school in the fall. So those are just some of the three big things I'm doing within the next 3 to 4 months. But on top of that, I think both this will pertain to me and you.
Yeah.
Me and Steve are also working on some side endeavors like this podcast. Me and Steve like to do skits.
Yep.
And there's one other thing we have in the woodworks that you guys might start seeing soon. So just, you know, some side hustles and then some serious, you know, white collar career stuff as well.
Yeah. You know, we're really trying to, I guess, diversify our portfolio in a sense because, I mean, Chris, we were just talking about the algorithm mud, trying to, I guess, make it quote unquote, or get to a point where you have an audience or I guess
that enjoys the stuff you post.
Yes, exactly. Like getting to your audience takes a while. And some people, I'm a firm believer that if you stay at it and stay consistent long enough, you'll make it. It's just that long enough is equal to many different things for a lot of people.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I lost my whole train of thought, sorry.
No, it's okay, it's okay. So I think that, and like Chris said, we have...
Sorry, guys, before I forget it.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I think me and you like a lot of things, so sometimes we can get a little convoluted with where we're going.
Yeah.
Like, we like anything from talking philosophical to sports to being funny, and I just think that's, to maneuver around, like, the dichotomy of all those things, it can get a little hard. So we're just really just trying to find our lane, I feel like.
Yeah.
And try to do all those things, really. It makes us happy.
I think what we're learning is our lane is all of the lane. Like,
it's like a highway, man.
Yeah, it really is a 6-lane highway.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay. I think both of us are... I was watching a TikTok, and it really opened my eyes. This is something that inspired me, because I wasn't really aware of it before, was the phenomenon of multi-passionate personality. And I think that's something that I have. There's so much that I'm really passionate about, and I can see myself doing, and I want to improve at. But it's an intimidating prospect to want to go at it
really
all
is.
At once.
Because it's so much easier to just pick one thing and be good at it.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people recommend that, and I myself recommend that. But I think when you're at least maybe not good at it, but like a couple things, I think that's the difference. Like if you like a couple things and you think you're good at it, to just try them all and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And ideally two or three of those things stick, and you can do all the things that make you happy, right?
Yeah, yeah, especially if you have a team behind you.
Yeah, that makes it a lot easier. If it was just one of us, I couldn't do half the stuff we do.
Yeah.
But doing it together is like, all right, like we can somehow manage this and spread out the labor. That
yeah.
goes into it, right?
No, exactly, exactly. Also, I'm working for my part of the thing, I'm working a job for a tech company that I really like. They're a great company. I really do like working for them. We're doing some really incredible work in the business field, which is a field I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see myself further into the future being an investor in them if
Yeah, and your job seems so flexible that it's like, you know what I mean? Like, they seem like they're really cool and not, like, crazy on top of you about things.
Well, their work, you know? It's very work hard, play hard, and also work smart. Work smarter rather than harder.
Right.
So it's,
that's how it should be.
Yeah, and so they're perfectly fine with, if I'm putting in work and I'm making things more efficient for the company, then I'm, you know, that's, and I handle my responsibilities, like, that's what it can be.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I like what we were just talking about.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, I think we definitely have like a good plan for after graduation. Yes. A lot of kids I talk to have no plan, and if you ask them, they're like, I'm seeking work, or like, that's it. But me and you definitely have a good head on our shoulders and did it right.
I really think we did do college right, especially this second half.
Yeah. We talked about some of our regrets last episode, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, we talked about the regrets, so it's cool to talk about now all the great things that have come from.
Yes. And obviously the memorable quote-unquote moments that we look back and they're funny stories, which we might get to in a little bit, those are ones that we sit and think, like, we don't sit and think, oh, dude, editing 3 videos in a day and then going and taking an exam and then doing this. That's not what we call memorable, but thinking back on those moments, it's like, man, it's crazy how all of those little actions manifested themselves in ways that we haven't even reaped yet.
And I think, like, I don't want to, I actually want to take back what I said. Like, I actually don't want to give too much credit to colleges for any success I've had. It's honestly been all the hard work me and you have put in, right?
Honestly.
Like, they contribute a little bit, but I could also just sat back, drank all beer all day, and have a degree. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, just skated on by. But me and you put in way more effort than the next person. Like, I always am sitting here, I'm like, oh, I mean, that kid might be smarter than me or better than me at that, but, I mean, he won't outwork me or she
exactly.
won't outwork me.
Yes. And we're
That's
at a point.
That's the mindset we have.
Exactly. And I think we've gotten ourselves to a point where we really enjoy the work that we do. And that makes us dangerous because we're hardworking. I mean, Chris, the video that we referenced, we edited for about 30 minutes. It's 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And we said, is this too loud? It's like, does this work here? It's not perfectionism. It's just wanting to put out the best product because we're passionate about it.
Yeah.
And now we know what goes into the behind the scenes to present a good front to an audience. And now we're just going to execute. And
yeah,
I
mean, that positively reinforced my thought that maybe some people like our comedy.
Yes, yes.
I think we're not so crazy after all, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But I will say we definitely have a good vision. Short-term, mid-term, long-term. We got a lot of stuff planned, and we hope you guys stay
We have a whole other project coming up, guys, that we really like. That has It's really different than what we normally have done, so.
Yes, yes, exactly. Speaking of projects, we now have our philosophy segment, and I have to mention a project that I did over the weekend because I wouldn't be talking about this, what I'm about to say, without it. So I directed my short film, directed my first short film this weekend, and it was really a transformative experience.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely amazing.
I thought it was awesome. I never knew what went into even like a short film, let alone these massive films.
Oh my God.
Being an actor is like, dude, like people say it's like, oh, my dream is to be that. I don't know, man. It's hard. Like,
yeah.
All day, every day, like multiple like retries. Like, there's a lot that goes into it, I've noticed. So.
Staying fresh on each take. It's Chris played one of the cops in the film too and gave an Oscar winning performance.
Yep.
And all the performances was amazing. It really gets me emotional thinking about how awesome it was. And now I get to work with an amazing editor, and we get to try to make this project the best it can be.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to have all these other side projects, like, going around it, too, because...
Yeah, because, like, once you finish a project like that, I feel like you come down from cloud nine, and you're like, well, now what, right? But, like, you're like, nah, dude, I got 100... I have, like, 3-4 other projects I want to go 100%
exactly.
on, right?
That's why I think it's so important to diversify your life. Especially if you're multi-passionate, but
took time to relax too.
Oh my gosh,
Like, you're probably chilling this week, right?
This week, been working, but tomorrow we graduate and I get off until next Friday. So I'm gonna play some golf. Maybe if it's warm enough. I don't think it's beach weather yet, but just chill. Go to Kelly Drive and sit in a park and read a book for like 4 hours. It sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
But to philosophy for this week. I wanted to talk, Chris, about comparison and what it does to us.
Yeah.
So the question would be, what do you think the effects comparison have on us, and how do you think that's amplified in today's day and age? Before we get into it, and the reason I mentioned my project is because all three of the actors that we hired gave unbelievable performances that I'm going to be grateful for the rest of my life. The main actor actually housed with me at my grandmom's house. Got to give a shout out to her. And he was incredible. His name's Matt, and he's a working actor. And he might be listening to this, who knows. But we're really good friends now, and he's very introspective and shared this incredible story with me that I want to bring to the pod. So you mind if I read this real quick?
No.
Probably will take a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So it says, it's called More Is Not Enough, and it's the story of the stonecutter. It says, there once was a stonecutter who was dissatisfied with himself and with his position in life. One day he passed a wealthy merchant's house. Through the open gateway, he saw many fine possessions and important visitors. How powerful that merchant must be, thought the stonecutter. He became very envious and wished that he could be like the merchant. To his great surprise, he suddenly became the merchant, enjoying more luxuries and power than he had ever imagined, but envied and detested by those less wealthy than himself. Soon a high official passed by, carried in a sedan chair, accompanied by attendants and escorted by soldiers beating gongs. Everyone, no matter how wealthy, had to bow low before the possession. How powerful that official is, he thought. I wish I could be that high official. Then he became the high official, carried everywhere in his embroidered sedan chair, feared and hated by the people all around. It was a hot summer day, so the official felt very uncomfortable in the sticky sedan chair. He looked up at the sun. It shone proudly in the sky, unaffected by his presence. How powerful the sun is, he thought. I wish I could be the sun. Then he became the sun, shining fiercely down on everyone, scorching the fields, cursed by the farmers and laborers. But a huge black cloud moved between him and the earth so that his light could no longer shine on everything below. How powerful that storm cloud is, he thought. I wish I could be that cloud. Then he became the cloud, flooding the fields and villages, shouted at by everyone. But soon he found that he was being pushed away by some great force and realized that it was the wind. How powerful it is, he thought. I wish I could be the wind. Then he became the wind, blowing tiles off the roofs of houses, uprooting trees, feared and hated by all below him. But after a while, he ran up against something that would not move, no matter how forcefully he blew against it. A huge, towering rock. How powerful that rock is, he thought. I wish that I could be a rock. Then he became the rock, more powerful than anything else on earth. But as he stood there, he heard the sound of a hammer pounding a chisel into the hard surface, and felt himself being changed. What could be more powerful than I, the rock, he thought. He looked down and saw far below him the figure of a stone cutter. Mm. That was a mouthful.
Yeah, but dude, that's a powerful story. I really like that story, and it came full circle.
Yes. So off of that, I want to build off comparison, what it does to us, and the uniqueness that everyone brings to the table.
Like, a quick thing I just got from that story, which I was going to mention anyway, was that you can compare yourself to someone all day, right? Mm-hmm. And you can, like in the story, you can maybe even achieve what that person achieved and get to their levels. But honestly, there's always going to be someone else you compare yourself to, mm-hmm. and put them on a higher pedestal that you're going to try to reach. And you're just never going to be happy if you don't just sit in the now and be like, I'm grateful for what I have and that I can just even just wake up every day.
Yeah, that's beautifully put, yeah.
Like, some people with all the money in the world are dying of terminal diseases, and their dream would just to be 22 again and have the world at their hands.
It really is. When you get in the mindset of it's a pleasure to even just be alive, then your expectations are immediately tampered or tapered down.
Yeah.
And then you're ready to just experience life.
Yeah. I think in today's society and even past society, I think materialistic things have been blown out of proportion. Not that we all wouldn't like a nice car, a huge house, designer clothes. But when you really break it down to the simple things, and you really can just realize how, you know, things are just bliss as is. Right?
Yes. You should go with the river, not against it, is
exactly
another thing I heard this weekend that was really good.
I like that.
It's like a lot of times we try to, something's happening, and here's an example. And I know this doesn't go into comparison, but I do think one of my favorite quotes of all time is, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes, yeah.
And like you just said, Chris, if you are looking and saying, man, this kid's 16 years old and has 4 million subscribers, blah, 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 then you'll never be happy.
Yeah, and you're going to be like, oh, I'm way behind him, right?
Yeah.
We'll never get to him, though, if
yeah,
you don't
exa-
start. Right?
Exactly. But I do think that I've mentioned it's all about the way you frame it, but
I
think... I
was going to say, me and you spin it around, and you're like, oh, he did that at 16. We can do that at...
Yeah.
You know?
Now, there's a lot of times where people will say everything happens for a reason, but I do think you almost have to shift your mindset to... You can make a reason... Okay, wait. Everything happens for a reason. I think you can shift that to find a reason for everything that's happening.
Right.
I don't know, you know...
I think we talked about a couple podcasts ago, I think Socrates or someone, I'm sure some philosopher, it was somewhat of a quote along the lines of, like, when bad things happen, there are no objectively bad or good things. It's mm-hmm. how you interpret it, right? That's not the quote. That's just kind of, you know, I paraphrased it. Yesterday, like, something really made me angry. Like, nothing, like, crazy. It was something so stupid. Like, I got locked out of my house, and I was like, this is so stupid. And I was getting angry for a second, and for some odd reason, that quote popped in my head, and I literally was like, dude, what are you getting so angry for? Like, just go to your grandma's and get a key, like, down the street.
Yeah.
And then I literally was fine. So it's just insane how powerful you can really change your mindset and emotions just by, like, your perspective.
Yeah. And what's great about that, Chris, is that that's exactly the definition of growth, because the next time you get locked out of your house, you're not going to think back to a quote you heard. You're going to think back to practiced behavior
yep.
by yourself because of the quote you heard. And over time, it becomes a habit. Soon enough, you'll be laughing when you're locked outside the house.
Not only like, that, it applies to everything.
You'll be like,
the next time I'm mad, I'm going to think about that time and be like, is this really that serious?
Yeah.
Or is this objectively bad? Or am I just making it worse?
Yes.
Or, you know what I mean? Or interpreting as it's bad. Like,
this is a compliment that I got as a director, which I wasn't even aware that I was really doing, because it's just the way I try to live my life. But people said, especially we were shooting Friday at a church, and it's low budget. Right? It's low budget, just like this podcast.
Yeah.
It's low budget, and we're trying to light the scenes as best we can, and we have an incredible crew. But, you know, we're shorthanded. That's just the way it goes with these productions. And we couldn't accomplish everything we wanted. We couldn't get all the shots we wanted. A lot of times, we were sitting around waiting for things to happen and weren't the most efficient production, but the main thing is that you just keep that positive mindset. And there were some shots, for example, one of the shots of Chris as a cop, that was so much better than I had originally planned. I think planning things is very good because it allows you the freedom for spontaneity.
100%, dude. And if it's planned, you at least know what you're going to probably
yes.
get out of it. But the good thing about that is it could also be better, like you're just talking about.
Like spontaneity should be what we strive for, because
yeah.
if you think back to most things in life that are memorable and that you enjoyed, it's the stuff that happened spontaneously, the stuff that felt like it was just coming out of you, like when you were telling a story, or when you're, I don't know, at a out with some friends and everything just feels like it's happening spontaneously. No
one, like great memories are being made spontaneously, right?
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is specifically with comparison today, like social media, it's so easy to go on your Instagram.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And like you said, I'm seeing kids making all this money off like cryptocurrency, who we don't even know what that is right now, barely. And all these people, like they're enjoying their lives. And I could sit there all day and keep scrolling and being like, damn, I wish my life was like that. But honestly, I don't do that. But like, honestly, I'm just like, no, let me get off this and, like, go enjoy my life.
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of those people who post those things, if you ask them if they're really happy, they might lie and they could really not be happy. You really don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And social media, sadly, has glamorized people's lives more than I think it really is.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel like your life isn't so good. But like you said, like, me and you, it's all about your perspective and how you look at things. And I think we do a pretty good job of looking at things in the brightest way possible, even when it's dark. Right?
I think so, too. And I think that's... Yeah, that's just what you have to do. I mean,
but if you let it affect you, it can probably like make you almost mentally ill.
Yes.
Like actually, and make you very depressed if you let it get to you. But if instead you're like, nah, I'm gonna make my damn life better than not talking about making better than theirs. I'm just gonna make my damn life the best life I can make it. You're gonna love everything. Like,
yeah,
you don't need to go on crazy trips to enjoy life. You can. Like, I like just going around, right, riding my bike in Bristol. It's like
Dude,
a great day to me.
If you know what you can do to avoid the trap of comparison is just be hyper-present with where exactly you are.
Yeah.
Because we'll be in this room, right? And full disclosure, we're not in the room you see behind us, right? We have a green screen up.
Yeah.
And we're in a small room in North Philly, and we'd probably be, you know, recording this on a beach with, I don't know, a event to go to afterwards if we could design everything.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, we have shelter. We have this friendship that we're able to, you know, share with people and bring people in on. So there's...
That's the only problem with, talking about this stuff is sometimes I feel like I'm blessed to have so many friends, and I always have things to do. Where some people might not have that many friends and things to do. So I definitely don't want to, sit here and, talk it up and say, I think friends are important and you should have, a couple people who, you know, to do fun stuff with. You know what I mean? Because, I like being alone. Don't get me wrong. But it is fun to do things with people and laugh and, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think you make a good point there. We're incredibly blessed. But in another way, we have taken the hand that we were dealt and done the best we could with it.
Yeah. We didn't get blessed with, we're not, in some crazy rich neighborhood or something. We were just blessed to have parents that raised us the right way.
Yeah, they
You know what I mean?
Did.
Gave us a good... We have a great life. Literally, we live Seriously. Better than most people. And so happened to go to school with some pretty good, pretty awesome people.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, there's nothing really to be... that I should be complaining about.
Yeah, I agree.
In all honesty. And I think that wraps us up well.
Yeah, you really shouldn't be complaining about anything.
Yeah.
You got it made.
You got it made, bro. And I think that wraps up the comparison well.
Yeah, I like that segment a lot. We went into a decent amount, but we kept pretty close to the main objective there.
Yeah, we kept it close to the chest. So it's time to wrap up this graduation podcast, guys, with one of a top, we'll say a top five that I think could be one of our favorites. This is our top five most memorable college moments.
Yeah. We're lighting it up now, guys. We're back. We're back to our funny side.
Yes, exactly.
You know, we get philosophical. We do everything here.
I want to say this too, Chris, before we hop into this.
Sure.
It is a bit, it is scary to go out on different limbs in different directions. So I definitely get why people are hesitant, because I know that everybody that I met this weekend in my crew, as I was directing my actors, look at me a certain way. And now, looking at this podcast, they might look at me a different way. But I think the key is being open with everything.
Yeah.
And just being like, hey, listen, this is me. And I'm going to operate the way I want to operate. And I think, at the very least, I respect myself for that. So that's what I want.
Hey, we're not holding anyone hostage to listen. Or
no.
If you don't like what we talk about or might not find this portion of us interesting.
Not yet,
maybe you'll find us interesting on another platform.
But. Yeah, and we're expanding.
Yeah, so our top five memorable college moments. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, 5-1, guys. My number five, taking my roommate's back door off in the dead of winter before his ex came down from Maryland. So for context, our roommate, Crispy, invited one of his ex-girlfriend over around 2 or 3 a.m., and she went to school in Maryland, and he was a little drunk. And somehow I convinced him that it would be hilarious if she came down, and his back door, which leads to the outside, was just completely off. Bear in mind, this is January.
It's snowing.
It was maybe 28 degrees out.
I swear to God, it was snowing.
Yeah, the door was off, and we made his room look crazy. At one point, I almost convinced him to tape the chair, his desk chair, to the ceiling. He wouldn't go for that. But she came down and was Jake, why is the door off, and why is it freezing in here?
Oh, my God.
And he made me put the door back on, but that's just a funny one.
I mean, I straight up just feel bad for everyone involved, but it's funny.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild story nonetheless.
The fact that it happens, pretty wild.
Yeah, he had to pay for inviting his ex down, something you regret in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
My number four, doing pull-ups on a 2x4 through the wall and going viral, guys. For those of you who don't know, I made a TikTok, another one, a different one that went viral. And, we put a 2x4 through the wall. I did some pull-ups to the Rock's rap song, and it took off. And it was a funny, funny moment that I didn't intentionally mean to go viral. I genuinely was FaceTiming a buddy, and he said, send me a video of it, and I did. And then I just posted it for my friends to see, and it took off.
Spontaneity. That was like the story of the first semester. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was the story of the fall. That was pretty crazy.
That was funny to see you on Barstool. And
yeah, some of my Schmitty, some of my favorite people just talking about me doing, who I listen to already sometimes, talking about me. They're like, and look at this. It doesn't get more Philly than this.
Even though we sort of
Eagles
went,
flag and all.
Yeah, tapered off from watching Barstool and stuff. It is still pretty cool to get on there.
Yeah. I just thought it was cool.
No, yeah. It is cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, well, what are you, protecting yourself from getting canceled?
No, I'm not. No.
My number three, dressing up as minions for Halloween. Guys, we had a bunch of minions. We had Gru. We had a Vector. We had Dr. Nefario. I mean, we were the whole damn clan, guys.
whoa.
What?
What kind of clan?
Dude, there's something that you're just trying to get yourself canceled. That's not even to get me canceled. Yeah, guys, you got... I mean, I had people stopping us on the way saying, that's the best shit I've ever seen.
It's
great.
That's
what they were saying. It was the best content we've ever created. I got neighbors in the backyard saying that they literally call us the Minion Kids because they saw us in the backyard literally going... We were playing the Minion theme song. What's that called? No. Like, what's that called when, a song is, edited to be, crazy?
Boosted.
Bass boosted and, just dancing like idiots. People were loving it.
Dude, this past Halloween was pretty fun. It was a good time. That was the last time I got really, really... You
intoxicated?
Know. Yes.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, that was.
Now
bad.
I have a picture of you with two of the Minion eyes on, and you look absolutely insane in it. It's really funny. I saw it the other day.
Yeah. As much as we like to, it is good. I'm very glad that we didn't just go on a path to be grind and stuff, because we wouldn't have these moments and the balance is so worth it.
Yeah, I believe in not being too stoic. You got to find somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
My number two. An anonymous friend, I won't say their name for their sake, pooping on my jeans.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who, but what was it? My junior year.
That was sophomore.
Okay, my sophomore year, we were waking up to go to a Temple tailgate. And the night before we went out to the draft horse, and to my surprise, I woke up. And I thought someone let a dog in, and I saw a little turd. I was like, "What the hell?"
I thought you said you thought it was a leaf first.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was a leaf because I have contacts, guys, and they weren't in. But then I put my glasses on, and that wasn't it. That was the side poop. I look over, and there's a mound of crap on my jeans. Let's just say that I woke the whole house up because I started screaming like a madman.
Yep.
I was ready to rip someone's face off. Yeah. I'm going to leave it at that because it's vulgar and I don't want anyone to be grossed out anymore. But yeah, that's insane.
It is pretty funny when we're both on the upstairs floor. So I'm in bed 7:30 a.m. and I just hear, "Nah, you got to be effing kidding me."
That's actually, I don't know how you remember that. That's actually what I was screaming.
Nah, this can't be real. it's got to be a joke.
I was absolutely screaming, "Nah, you got to be effing kidding me."
Which is fair. I mean, it's literally your jeans and, the culprit's been dealt with since.
Yeah. And my number one, guys, not my proudest moment, waking up with a hospital band on and an ambulance receipt on my desk. freshman year of college, guess my parents didn't give me a good enough talk or pep talk. I literally told my friends, I was sick as a dog, but I don't really go out much. So I went out that night and I was like, "I'm going to get messed up." Well, I shouldn't have said that, guys, because I manifested it and I didn't even make it out to the party. Apparently, I was falling into the walls. I'll just say it now. This is one of my not proudest moments, but I chugged a whole bottle of Captain Morgan 100 proof.
That'll do it.
And I had DayQuil, and I wasn't under the impression that would not only enhance it four times, as the doctors told me in the hospital room, but while I was in the hospital, apparently I was so wasted that I just needed to pass one test, say my birthday, to get out, but I wouldn't say it, and they almost had to restrain me because I was swinging on nurses. So the moral of the story is don't be a bonehead freshman like me.
Yep.
You know, I'd say since then, I barely drink. I drink once every 2 months, so.
Listen, the way you should look at life is you make mistakes.
Yes.
You're a better person now. You can't change them, and if anyone wants to sit with them and make you feel bad, they can chill back there with
the mistake. Yeah, exactly. Explaining that to my parents was another story. I mean, you know how embarrassing it was that I found out that my shirt was off. I was in a wheelchair in the college dorm hallway, and all my buddies were the next day, "Yo, you all right? We saw you. You look like you were not alive." They had me strapped in a harness. I mean, it's the whole thing was embarrassing.
Hey, man. We've come a long way.
Yeah, well, I don't know if anything you've done is like that, but sure, thanks for making me feel better.
For sure. So my number five for memorable college moments is, Chris, just our post games in our living room.
Oh.
I think we forget about these, and I want to bring them back one more time for our last party. Also, the parties that we had. There was a time Chris and I moved in together, and we just started calling it August 2nd because we had this huge party planned. I mean, you want to talk about having some purpose and passion in life? We had it back then.
Oh, yeah. That's the mindset of a freshman, sophomore.
Yeah. Just how do I make this party so lit?
So sick, yeah.
So lit that
the post games are great. That you come back, you play music at a volume that should never be at. You can't even hear each other. You're just looking around and dancing like a madman.
Everyone's gone, dancing on the tables.
On the sofas.
At that party, we had someone go through the table, dancing on it.
Hot sauce on the walls.
Our house, we've had it for 3 years, and it's been through a lot.
But, it's been through the ringer.
Especially this morning, it even got put through some more. Yeah. But post games in our living room, something that I'll never forget.
Some of the best. Post and pre games, dude.
Yes, and I want one more of them. We just know how to have
a good time. I want one more good time where, you know, we go to a Phillies game, I get messed up, and I have to tell you guys why I regret my decision.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Confess my sins to you. Father, it has been 3 years since my last confession. You better clear your schedule because, boy, do I have a list for you. And you might not have enough Hail Marys in Our Fathers.
Oh, my God. The dude's writing a short story over here. My number four is getting into the draft horse with my business organization sophomore year, freshman and sophomore year. So I joined this business organization end of freshman year. And essentially, I just felt like, I don't know, you meet friends, boom, and now they're like older than you, and they get you into the bar and stuff, and you just feel sick. So that was awesome. I got to go to a bar with, just came in early and then hung with them the whole time. And yeah, that was something I won't forget because I'm still friends with a lot of those people. Still, I actually work with them at my job. And we have those memories that are just really fun.
My favorite would be seeing you and your organization in there, and then my crew of our roommates just coming in and just like, I don't know, we would just meet up and it would just be a good time. You know, the we were like, I'm not going to actually dox us.
No, the people that I met at Temple really, I don't think there's anyone like us because.
No, I've learned that.
Like my organization, I'd introduce some of my friends to them and they'd just be like, yeah, why is the one kid foaming from the mouth? And I'm like, that's just Richie.
Like, yeah, that one kid was he was funny. He's a little crazy though, don't you think? And you're like, oh yeah, don't mind him. He's he didn't take his meds.
And I'm like sitting there nodding, knowing that the same thing's going through my head.
Yeah. We have a very tight knit friend group of a lot of friends, but like no one else wants to join.
No, I don't think that's true. There's people that really want to join.
No, I'm just kidding. People love our sense of humor, low key.
Yeah, I know.
We have a whole minion clan down the street.
We have a good time. My number three is going to the bar the day that the semester was shut down for COVID, not knowing what it was at all, and just really putting everyone at risk.
We were celebrating in the bar when COVID happened. Bear in mind, guys, for context, we didn't know anything about COVID. Like, we just got a text, school's canceled until this date, like, or, you know what I mean, online.
It was like halfway or three-quarter way through the semester, so they just sent us home for the summer. And we were rejoicing. Everyone's hugging. You know, you got people making out as usual in the bar. And
I'm not going to lie. A girl took a drink of my beer, and the next day I was like, I thought I was going to die. Like, I'm not even kidding. I was like, bro, dude, like, that's bad. Like, that's really bad.
Because if you remember how it happened with COVID, it was like, boom, everyone started to know what it was.
Exactly. And I started learning about it. I'm like, shit.
Panic just hit. Yeah. But, yeah, that was a funny memory, just being like, just literally looking at it and seeing that, okay, so we're done for the semester, and everyone just rushes to the bar and just...
The logic isn't there.
No,
like,
it's
why
not.
They let us in, why the bars weren't shut down yet. Like, no one knew what was happening. It was unprecedented, really. And it's just, it's pretty insane looking back that that's what our decision was. COVID happened, and everyone at Temple went to a bar to celebrate.
Yeah. My number two is Whitehall freshman year. I lived in Whitehall on Temple. It's the worst dorm by far, but the best in terms of building character.
Yeah, everyone I know talks it up.
That's where I met Crispy. Met our boys Brian Oss, Jeer, Patty Ruger, Drubo, to name a few. We had a bunch of friends that we met there. And just a really fun time. That was like, dude, I just think about so many memories, like watching Trailer Park Boys or watching a movie with them once we met them. Going across the street and getting like literally the worst snacks for you, but that just like a whole gallon of chocolate milk and two king-size Reese's.
Yeah.
And just going to town on them. And yeah, Whitehall was very fun. College was just a ton.
Everyone's got to put on the freshman 15.
Yes, yes. And everyone's got to work their way through how it's getting off.
Yeah. Some don't. Some are lagging behind, guys. It's a tough battle. It's a uphill battle.
It is an uphill battle, and I commend anyone on the path now.
Yeah, good luck. Just be careful because that food is disgusting and bad for you. Like, it's burgers and fries.
The dining hall's not good.
That's something that we should start, like, looking into, like, making colleges change. Like,
yeah.
There's, like, no healthy options, dude. There really isn't.
Remember, that's what in that one class, that was my whole project.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but yours was vegan options. I don't want that. I want other healthy stuff.
Yeah, no,
like,
maybe
just some plain chicken and rice with some seasoning. Like, how hard is that?
Yeah, no, yeah. People hear vegan and think they have to change their whole diet. There's only about three or four things you have to change. But I still am not eating as a vegan at the moment, so I can't really talk about it.
Well, one of the things you have to change is pretty important to me.
Yeah, I know, the amount of protein you get.
Yeah, like, I think that's pretty important.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay, so my number one, I think, Chris, I think we both agree on, like, all of these.
Yeah, dude, these are great lists.
Is the Crispy versus Jake Carr backyard fight. So this was last year. This is, like, when COVID, I guess, is dying down a little bit. That could be a false report.
I don't think that's true, but...
I remember the March Madness was back on, so it was last year. We had Crispy, who I met at Whitehall, our roommate, literally fist fight one of our best friends, Jake Carr, in the backyard, and we had a bunch of people over. We had one of those guard rails out on, like, not the highway, but that you'll block off a street with.
We had people piled in behind them,
trying to jump and get a punch on one of the guys themselves.
I had to ref it. I almost got a right hook.
I was the announcer. Crispy went down. Crispy fell, and Christian caught my TV. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I didn't catch Crispy, but I caught the TV, guys. That was important with March Madness.
And then there was just a really big party afterwards. Yeah, it was a ton of fun.
The liability on our hands was not perpetual.
Yes, it was not smart.
Yeah, that could have been bad. But nothing bad happened, and definitely deserves to be number one. That's pretty close to mine, actually, because of how dangerous
I know.
For context, fist fight with boxing gloves on. But it was on concrete, so yeah. Crack of the skull.
Oh, and we
good
are...
Good as a bag of bones.
Crack of a skull, and we are in prison right now.
Yeah,
this
so
is, yeah.
Definitely don't do that.
But guys, I think overall, it's been an incredible run here at Temple.
Yeah, incredible college experience. Hopefully you don't have to hear me blabber on about it anymore.
And we'll talk about it more. But for right now, we're going to wrap you up, not a college-related quote, actually a quote from my grandmother that I called to confirm
earlier
in the day. It's one of my favorite ones. This is after I showed her the Stonecutter story. She said, "If everyone put their troubles into a basket and you passed them around, you would want yours back."
I like it, guys.
Take care. We'll see you next week.
Take care.